afternoon. We're going to call a meeting to order of the Senate Committee, Education Committee. Let the record reflect, it is approximately 3:32 on Thursday, February 16. The purpose of our meeting today is to hear a sponsor substitute for SB 103 Residential Psychiatric Education Funding. The Department of Education has provided a zero fiscal note. The prime sponsor, Senator Giesel, and her staff, Carrie, are here presenting today, and they'll walk the committee through the legislation. So with that, if we can identify ourselves for the record, begin the testimony, and then we'll be asking questions along the way.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District N in Anchorage. Mr. Chairman, a few years ago I did a ride-along with an APD officer, and one of the calls that we responded to was a young man, about 13 years old, at a local retail location, and he was in foster care and was having a meltdown, became uncontrollable, frankly. And so the police officer responded, very expertly calmed the young man down, and we transported him to one of the residential psychiatric treatment centers. Now, of course, I don't know what the long-term outcome was for this young man, but had he been required to stay for a long time at that treatment center, he would have been missing school. And one of the things that is happening in some of the school districts is that the school district is not adequately meeting the educational needs of those kids that are in these long-term facilities. And so when they emerge, they're sometimes missing a whole year of school or not able to keep up with their classmates. That's the purpose of this bill, to fill that gap, Mr. Chairman. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kari Noor, my staff, who will give you the additional explanation of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Kari Noor. I am staff to Senator Giesel. And as Senator Giesel says, one of the main reasons that we are putting Senate Bill 103 forward is to address the current way that we provide education services to children who are admitted into residential psychiatric treatment centers, which I will refer to as RPTC for short. So currently, the residential psychiatric treatment centers are finding that local districts sometimes fail to provide adequate education services to children suffering from serious mental illness who have been confined by a doctor's or a court order to this RPTC for treatment, which usually lasts between 30 days to one full calendar year. So in this version of the bill, it amends AS 1403.083, which deals with contracting for services. And this is to authorize a three-year pilot project for school districts to contract with the RPTCs to provide educational services to patients or children confined to the facility by that such order. So this bill calls for the RPTC to submit a proposed contract to the local school district, which meets 21 rigorous educational standards and accountability measures, which is found in Section 14.30.800. So in addition, the proposed contract must include a proposed reimbursement rate to the RPTC. The local board then must issue a decision within 30 days, including findings of fact and conclusions of law. The RPTC can appeal an adverse decision to the Commissioner of the Department of Education. Then the State Board of Education must similarly provide an appeals process similar to that of a charter school. This approach streamlines and simplifies the process from the earlier version of Senate Bill 103, hence the sponsor substitute. There are a total of 12 RPTCs statewide, which could choose to educate their patients and students, covering about 200-plus patients statewide. And we expect only a few of the larger facilities will take advantage of this option. This is a pilot project, and it will sunset in 3 years and will provide data to the Department of Education for future use.
Thank you very much. And just a side note, and I apologize, I neglected to mention that we do have a quorum. Senator Giesel is here, Senator Gardner, Senator Huggins, and Senator Stevens is on his way. So, members of the committee, do we have questions for Senator Giesel and Kari? Well, I guess we do. Senator Gardner.
Thank you. The most impactful piece of the written testimony we've received for me is a letter from Timothy Klein, Alaska Advanced ED Director, and he's talking about the impact that he has seen in 36 years of education in Alaska when students in a residential treatment center come back having had a good educational plan in place while they were gone, and getting kind of where the homeschool knows what was happening. Does the plan before us include elements of working with the homeschool in the process?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, I did not get a chance to walk through the sectional, but I can. I'm happy to do that. And the way it will work is that the residential psychiatric treatment centers will work with the local school districts and a center for education services in order to ensure that they are matching up with their homeschools.
Can I ask a question? Are you referring to their home school, like in public homeschool, or their home school in their neighborhood where they went to school?
The school that the student is enrolled in before he or she leaves town. And will there be communication? I saw sort of briefly the description of what the contract would include. Is there any provision for the, shall we say, temporary education program to communicate with a teacher or the school that the child returns to on his release or her release?
Through the chair, I would like to defer to one of my lifelines. Evelyn Alsop is in the room who has more experience with this contracting than I.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, for the record, I would have asked her myself had it occurred to me, but I hadn't seen the letter.
Could you identify yourself for the record? And then we'll ask Senator Gardner to rephrase the question again and get an answer.
Good afternoon. My name is Evelyn Alsop. I'm the Educational Director for North Star Behavioral Health.
Thank you.
Senator Gardner.
So I'll see if I can ask it more succinctly and clearly. The letter from Timothy Klein describes the difference between a student who goes away for residential treatment and doesn't have a good education program when they come back and try to catch up back at their original school. And he said occasionally there's a student who comes back who's had a good program, and it makes a world of difference. So my question is, will there be communication at various points, but particularly at the end of the program when the student goes back home?
Through the chair to Senator Gardner, you will hear in testimony today how we've created contracts that we have already taken, that we have given to the Anchorage School District for them to take a look at. And there are provisions in that contract for us to actually have constant ongoing communication with the residents' school from whence they came. It's so hard to say homeschool, the school from where they came. And that contact would start upon admission, would continue throughout to make sure that there is an alignment with the transcripts, which you will hear in testimony today is an ongoing problem. And then that communication would begin, would continue upon discharge, and that plan for that child as they go back would include that residence.
Excellent.
Homeschool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we refer to it as the neighborhood school, it might help us.
Works for me.
Yes.
And through the chair, Senator Gardner, the exact plan where it's written into the contract is on page 4, line 10 of the bill. Where there will be a written plan to collaborate with the school district.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Corey, good presentation. The Psychiatric Institute has first cousins, I don't know, Matsu Pretrial. Matsu Detention Center, right? It's where kids are out of their normal education environment. They aren't going to school. But there's a process for them to be educated on site. Is that right, Evelyn or Corey?
Through the chair to Senator Huggins, yes, there is a process in place right now for them to be educated on site, but you will hear in testimony today how there are some deficiencies with that process that is going on.
Right. So, but I guess it's something we've exercised. It may not be perfect. Let's call it 75%. That's not unacceptable. Let's call it 75%. Is there something to be learned from that model? Is it exportable to what we're talking about or not?
Through the chair to Senator Huggins. As an educator myself, I believe that there's something to be learned from everything that we do. And so, of course, that we have already taken a look at the process that's already in place. And some of the things that you will see are things that we have taken from that process and we would just like to improve on.
So what I heard you say is, in plain English, RPTCSs is the answer. Is that what you said? Just said?
Through the chair to Senator Huggins, we believe that melding the education with the mental health treatment that the child receives is something that would increase the educational opportunities for the child, yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
So for the public, basically, in a nutshell, do you have a situation where the mental health issues of a child may exceed the capacity or the structure of a regular neighborhood school concept, and that the mental health treatment probably would take precedence over that education, and what you're trying to do is integrate education at the same time the child is being treated. Is this correct?
Yes, Chairman, that would be correct.
Other questions? Okay. So we have a couple testifiers online. Do we have Michael Lyons, North Star Behavioral Health System?
Yes, Chairman, I am online.
And are you here to, you are slated for testimony. So if you can identify yourself for the record, who you're associated with, and then begin your testimony, that would be great.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Dunleavy and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Michael Lyons, and I am the Vice President of Specialty Education for Universal Health Services of Delaware and North Star Behavioral Health System. I would like to start off by thanking Senator Giesel for sponsoring Senate Bill 103 and all the hard work her staff has done preparing this legislation. Senate Bill 103 will allow residential psychiatric treatment centers, as you've heard, RPTCs, to become educational service providers directly responsible for delivering each child's education while they are receiving intensive and sometimes life-saving mental health treatment. Children and adolescents are admitted to RPTCs under a physician's order due to meeting medical necessity for a diagnosed mental illness, and it is critical that they receive comparable and equitable educational services that will allow them to successfully transition back to their neighborhood school. We can no longer treat children with mental illness differently, and we must strengthen the mental health system to integrate individualized educational services. It is evident that students admitted to RPTCs are a special class of students that are entitled to a free and appropriate public education, and that due to their unique educational and mental health treatment needs, sometimes school districts are sometimes challenged to provide the educational services. State and federal law further finds that children and adolescents with mental illness are entitled to a free and appropriate public education that is comparable to the education received by other students enrolled in public schools, and we believe that this class of children should not have their educational opportunities compromised for seeking life-saving mental health treatment. For the past several years, we have been advocating relentlessly to bring awareness that this special population of students has unique needs, and that in some instances, a RPTC is able to provide more effective educational and treatment services than a school district can deliver. Tragically, throughout our efforts, we identified a huge disparity in the level of comparable resources provided to students currently being served by the Anchorage School District, and last year, the House Education Committee appointed a subcommittee to study how educational services were being delivered to children with mental illnesses residing in RPTCs. Immediately upon the formation of the subcommittee, representatives from the Anchorage School District and North Star began meeting and have met over 20 times to improve the service delivery system. Although progress has been made in some areas, it has not been without intense scrutiny and advocacy for some of the most basic school floor functions to be implemented. Sadly, there has been a long pattern of evidence that shows students did not have full access to the district's online curriculum, Student transcripts and course schedules were not developed in a timely manner. Individualized learning plans were not completed. And most concerning is the lack of special education services for students with IEPs. We simply cannot allow this to continue any longer. Senate Bill 103 will allow RPTCs to enter into a contract with a local school district to be an educational service provider. The contract would include 21 accountability provisions and assurances similar to what is required for charter schools. Of great interest to the legislature is that Senate Bill 103 is a three-year pilot program that would require the RPTCs to report measurable outcomes so all stakeholders could evaluate the program's effectiveness. We believe that we have exhausted all other remedies and that this legislation is a viable solution to help children with mental illness have access to equitable educational services that will allow them to move forward with their lives in a positive manner. Our organization operates over 200 behavioral health facilities throughout the nation, and we have been very successful being the educational service provider when authorized to do so. In order to demonstrate our commitment to quality, we have a comprehensive academic accountability system that includes a set of national standards for educational services in residential settings, a school improvement planning process, and an outcome management system. We have shared this accountability system with the Anchorage School District, the Commissioner of Education, and we'll be happy to get you a copy if we haven't already provided you one. Thank you for your support of Senate Bill 103, and we look forward to this piece of legislation helping the special class of students in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Lyons from members of the committee? Senator Huggins.
I'm sorry, is it Lyons?
L-Y-O-N-S.
Mr. Lyons. I may be wrong, but only partially, I think. We have a thing called student count. And at the end of that, wherever that student is, that school site gets the money for them. And lo and behold, if we tighten that up and that student, after that student count resided at your institution, there was some pro rata, let's call it vouchers for psychiatric education funding. Seems to me like a solution. Is that way off base or not?
Through the chair to Senator Huggins, thank you so much for that question. Under this model, Senator Huggins, the children would still be counted in the same state count in the Anchorage School District count as they are now. Currently, all of the children residing at North Star are counted in the Anchorage School District. This legislation would just allow a contract between the Anchorage School District and North Star, so the same counting provision would stay in place.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, you described how to do it with your left hand. I'm describing how to do it with the right hand. But anyway, thank you very much.
Questions for Mr. Lyons? Seeing none, thank you. We're going to move on to our next testifier. Hope I'm pronouncing the name Kalia Nielsen.
Hi, no, it's Kayla Nielsen.
Sorry. Kayla Nielsen, could you identify yourself for the record and who you associate with and begin your testimony?
Yes, my name is Kayla Nielsen, and I'm testifying as a parent of a child with mental illness.
Continue, please.
Hi. I was going to give you a little bit of background of the whole situation just so you can kind of get a really good idea of what we've been through for the past, several years. Again, my name is Kayla Nielsen. I'm currently employed as an educator as well as holding a bachelor's degree in business administration, a minor in psychology, and a minor in accounting. I've been a single mom of four since my children were 2, 4, 6, and 8 years old, and I have a son who's been enrolled in the Anchorage School District since kindergarten. Kagan, my son, received his first neuropsychological evaluation at the age of 8. At that time, he was diagnosed with reading, math, and written expression disorders, attentive deficit hyperactivity disorder, mixed receptive expressive disorder, developmental coordination disorder, anxiety disorder, and mood disorder. Since that time, Kagan has been in and out of acute and residential treatment programs. At the age of 9, he spent 1 month in North Star Hospital and received another neuropsychological evaluation where he was also diagnosed with Asperger's disorder and probable bipolar disorder. Around this time, he received his first IEP for services with Anchorage School District. From the age of 11 to 13, he lived with his father, and they did move around. At the age of 13, while in his eighth grade year as an Anchorage School District student, he spent 3 weeks at the Providence Crisis Recovery Center after writing notes about threatening to commit suicide. After his return, he was now behind in school 3 weeks. Kagan's freshman year of high school with the Anchorage School District started off well, with him attending almost every day. Towards the middle of September, he was in a fight after being bullied and trying to walk away. I appealed the suspension due to his mental health issues and was denied. He missed 9 days of school, putting him further behind in his classes. When he went back to class, he was told he would have to get notes from classmates to catch up, and he struggled with school, and his grades dropped. I'm telling all of this in order to explain why we kept going back to treatment centers. He just kind of kept feeling further and further behind. In the beginning of October, I had a meeting with the teachers and the administrator from his high school and shared all of his background with treatments, mental health issues, and IEP needs. In early November, I emailed his school counselor, who was in charge of all the students with IEPs, and asked if we could meet to discuss some options for Kagan, as he was now falling behind in his classes and failing. Her response was that he did not need any options and asked if I had thought about having him see a therapist. I could not believe that she had no idea of the struggles he was having and not willing to help meet his IEP goals. I cannot put into words how I felt at that moment with all the things I've been trying to do to help my son. This counselor had no idea about my son's needs or background, even that I had shared all of it with the school in September. At the end of November, he kind of fell apart. He spent another month at North Star Hospital and then was enrolled and entered into North Star's Palmer Residential Treatment Center, where he was enrolled with the Matsu School District. During this time, one of his main diagnoses was bipolar disorder. Due to not being on the right medication, after a month at being enrolled to the Matsu School District, he was then sent back to the main North Star Hospital, where now he was enrolled to the Anchorage School District. This lasted 1 month while he was getting stabilized. After that month, he was then sent back to Palmer Residential Treatment Center, was re-enrolled to the Matsu School District for 9 months. While in the Palmer Residential Treatment Center, the only classes he could take were APEX classes entirely taught online. Kagan struggled to be able to learn in this way and became very frustrated, even refusing to attend classes sometimes. Even after modifying his IEP, he was still not allowed to take classes with book and paper, as I was told that APEX classes were the only things available in treatment centers. His quote in family therapy sessions were, "I'm stupid, there's no reason for me to go to school, I don't understand what I'm reading on a computer, I'm already behind, so what's the point?" After being discharged from Palmer in October of this last year, he re-enrolled with Anchorage School District to finish his first semester of his sophomore year. While meeting with a school counselor, a different one, there was trouble getting the paperwork she needed from all the different facilities and school districts and aligning the classes he had taken with the Matsu School District classes with what was available with the Anchorage School District. I was told he was now about a half a year behind in credits, even though he had taken classes while in residential treatment. He was so frustrated at being behind and given few classes that were suited to his needs. Now keep in mind, this is now a 15-year-old who is almost 6 feet tall. He stopped taking his meds and went into a manic state. For those of you who are unaware of a manic state of bipolar, it is like feeling high and invincible. He ended up doing some really dumb things and got into legal trouble. At this point, he told his therapist that he had tried to kill himself by overdosing on aspirin and ibuprofen up to 6 times. This past January, he spent 1 week back at the Providence Discovery Unit, then three weeks back in North Star Hospital, all the time falling further behind in school as nobody from ASD School District called to find out what was going on until the end of January. This is a kid who started out wanting to attend high school, to a student who now wants to drop out and he feels so far behind, there's no hope. What I really needed in this process was somebody who could help me with transitions from one program to another, someone who understand and knew the whole situation and understood how the system works and is removed from the emotions involved while trying to help your child who is receiving treatment. While the Anchorage School District does say they have a system in place to manage kids in treatments, the truth is that this did not happen with my son. To my knowledge, nobody from ASD contacted the treatment centers during any of his days. The first time this past fall, after his discharge from Palmer Residential Center and his re-enrollment in the high school, his school within our area, the first time I was contacted by the the school, the head of special education at the high school, was November 11th, 2 weeks after his re-enrollment. The next time I was contacted was January 28th of 2016, wondering why Kagan hadn't attended school this spring. I told her he was back in North Star after having tried to commit suicide and heard nothing back. I've been an educator for 8 years, and I've struggled to keep up with all of his educational needs while also trying to advocate for his mental health. I have 3 other kids and 2 jobs I'm trying to maintain. I would like to think that I'm a pretty well-educated person, but I still don't really understand how the system is supposed to work. There is no way kids who are struggling and trying to get better mentally can be managed by one school district, as they are often bounced around to different schools while getting treatment. The first time I heard of special schools department with Anchor School District was this past January, 7 years after we'd been down this road. This was while I was trying to enroll Kagan back into a different high school after his last acute treatment. It took a full week to enroll him, which was good and bad. The good news, after 7 years, I finally heard of the special schools department as the Anchor School District and was able to talk to the head of the department and the head of the SPED department at his new high school. And that person really wanted all the information so she could get him back on the right track. The bad is it took a full week of him sitting at home waiting to be able to attend school, and now not only missing a full week of school, but now off his regular schedule of getting up as I had to go to work. I was told he is now 1 full year behind in his education. The treatment centers needs the funding from all the school districts involved in order to best meet the needs of the students they are treating and able to best support students of all of Alaska. My son was enrolled in MATSU, or Anchor School District, basically while he was enrolled in MATSU and Anchor School District, his IEP goals were not met as there was hard to communicate between all the different entities. I can't express to you how much my other children have suffered through this entire process. Thankfully, they do not have mental health issues. Please pass House Bill 102. I heard it was 103. So no other families have to struggle with the aftermath of finally getting your kiddo in the right frame of mind to learn, and then find out they are now so far behind that they have a whole new struggle ahead. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for Ms. Nielsen? I have just a quick question, Ms. Nielsen. Did you say you were a teacher?
I am a teacher.
A public school teacher?
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions, members of the committee? Thank you very much. Our next testifier online is Paul Ortner, DHSS, Anchorage. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to state your name for the record and begin your testimony?
My name is Paul Ortner, O-R-T-N-E-R. I'm just here to represent Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Behavioral Health, if there's any questions for the division.
Questions from members of the committee for Mr. Ortner? I do have to also correct another misstep I've done. This is now open for public comment. Senator Gardner.
Thank you. I have questions for the bill sponsor, or maybe for Evelyn. I'm sorry, I forget your last name. Relating to the testimony of Ms. Nielsen, is this a good time to do it while it's fresh in her minds? Okay, so this mother described her child sort of bouncing back between different facilities, and I guess 2 of them were yours, maybe not all of them, and they're different school districts. So my question is, under your proposal, would you have contracts with every school district in which you have a facility, and in that case, would teachers be at only one facility or moving between them? And how many places do you have facilities, I guess?
Through the chair to Senator Gardner. The bill, the way it is written, would allow us to contract with different districts if needed where we had facilities. Also, you will hear in my testimony, and then I think is presented to you, the way that we would employ an educational case manager for each child. So each child would have an educational case manager that would actually be able to help with all that transient activity that's going on that would gather all of that material to decrease the amount of classes that are retaken that don't need to be retaken and so forth.
Thank you. And a related question, the problem of having the educational records transferred, would those records be in your possession or would they be the in the possession of the sponsoring district, if you will?
Through the chair to Senator Gardner, no, those records would be in our possession and it would be our responsibility to gather those records for each individual child.
And then lastly, related to that, if a child, for example, is 9 years old and got services and you never saw that child again and the rest of the time the child was at the neighborhood school, the records then at the neighborhood school or, say, the Anchorage School District would have a gap. Would they have access to the academic records that were then in your possession?
Through the chair to Senator Gardner, upon discharge, we would provide the receiving school with all of the academic records and with any testing or any other available material that they would need to provide that educational program for that child. Also, you would see that we would be providing with that receiving school would be involved in that discharge or that transition with that child. Thank you.
Thank you, and I just need to have the record reflect that Senator Stevens has been with us for some time. Evelyn, question for you. Are you an educator as well?
Excuse me, Chairman Dunleavy. I have worked as an educator in the district in the past. Yes, as right now I am not actively teaching now.
But you've been a public school teacher?
Yes, I have been a public school teacher for 26 years.
Thank you. Evelyn, we have you down as a testifier. Did you want to add any more? We brought you up to help answer some questions, and we've been asking you questions, but did you have any prepared statements you wanted to say?
If I may.
Please.
Good afternoon. My name is Senator Dunleavy and members of the Education Senate Committee. My name is Evelyn Alsup, and I am the Director of Education for North Star Behavioral Health. When a family comes to the point that a child needs inpatient mental health treatment, it is a very stressful time and emotions run very, very high. The last thing the child or family need is a disruption to their child's education. School is often the only consistent part in a child's day, and they need to have equitable access to their curriculum so when they transition back to their school district, they are in line academically and they can move forward to the next grade level. A student's education should never be compromised during treatment, nor should families be forced to choose between a child receiving an education or receiving mental health treatment services. Education plays an essential part of a child's successful mental health treatment outcome, and it should be woven into the treatment process, starting with the admission into the facility. Recently, I had a phone call from a father. He was upset and concerned about his daughter's education. She had been receiving inpatient treatment from us since the beginning of the school year. He was being proactive and had been trying to contact her current teacher to help him with a plan for her return home to her neighborhood school district this spring. As he was planning for her return home, it was brought to his attention that she was not taking classes that were going to count in her neighborhood school district. No one had contacted the student's neighborhood school district or attempted to align her transcripts with classes that she was taking while in treatment. This is a scene that plays out way too often where parents are forced to make a choice between needed health mental services or their child's education. It was not until after last legislative session that the Anchorage School District made a concentrated effort to remedy the educational deficiencies that they themselves have identified. However, sadly, I must report that although progress was made, there are still several priority areas of educational deficiency, and students receiving mental health treatment often lack equitable educational services or opportunities. Of those Anchorage School District educational deficiency areas, I have with me information that would show how North Star would immediately address those deficiencies and improve the educational opportunity for the students residing in our treatment facility.
Thank you. Any questions for Evelyn?
Senator Gardner.
Thank you. And it's not exactly about your testimony here, but about the bill itself. And it has to do with the appeal process. If the local school district objects, does the language of the appeal process mirror the language that we already have in statute that applies to charter schools and getting approval and appealing?
Through the chair to Senator Gardner, yes, they align very closely. They're not exact, but they align very closely, yes.
Thank you. And then I would, is the Anchorage School District online or participating?
You know, according to my assistant, Krista, we have nobody online or nobody's.
Thank you. So, Mr. Chair, as each of us would probably do, reach in a situation like this, reach out to our own district to say, what do you think about this? What's your response? We've done that and kind of drawn a blank. I've made personal phone calls and talked to people and asked for just a little synopsis of kind of their perspective of the chain of events and how we get here, and that didn't happen, and I followed with a letter a couple of weeks ago, and that didn't happen, so I guess I don't have to consider their view right now.
We have Commissioner Hanley in the audience, and he's prepared to answer questions if we had any questions for him. So I'm not sure if there are members of the committee that would like to hear testimony. Senator Stevens? Yeah, sure. Commissioner, can you come up, please? Thank you. And if you could state your name for the record, and then we can ask you some questions.
For the record, my name is Mike Hanley, the Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development.
Senator Stevens?
Well, I had a chance to talk with the folks earlier a few days ago. I'm sorry I was not able to be here earlier in this meeting, but one of the concerns I would have is this an end run around the district when there's an appeal? I'd just like to know from your standpoint what are your thoughts on that?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I don't believe it feels like an end run. It does feel like another opportunity to pursue a residential psychiatric treatment center believes is proper treatment for students. Much like we found in HB 278, the charter school laws that were strengthened, it was easy for our school district to say no and didn't have to really justify that. There was language in there that said they needed to make their decision based on findings of fact and conclusions of law. That same language is in this bill. And if they find those, there's also another language, another part in here that speaks to the funding that the school district, the school board needs to find that the funding requested is reasonable. So those components are part of the appeal process, and it's relatively narrow on what's appealable and what the commissioner would need to consider.
Thank you.
Any additional questions, Senator Gardner?
Thank you. Is there anything in this bill as it is before us right now that gives you concern or causes worry?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, not from the state's perspective. I think the first thing that jumps out, you know, that jumps out to most people is the word shall. It comes right at the very beginning, and that a school district shall, but you know, shall enter a contract. But then within that, you know, the next couple pages speak to all the components that are required to be a part of that, and the accountability measures. And Evelyn and I have spoken extensively, and I spoke with the Anchorage School District extensively over the last year, all of these components that are required for those placements, and that the school district, the school board still is has the responsibility to look at that and see if the request is reasonable.
Thank you.
Any additional questions for Commissioner Hanley? Thank you.
So with that, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify upon this bill this time? Seeing none, we're going to keep public testimony open. We're going to put the bill aside. Maybe some school districts will call or have an opportunity, but I think it's a little bit of time will help us. So we'll pick up the bill again next week. Senator Beasel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in making some concluding remarks today, You know, I opened up telling you about the young man that I encountered as I did the ride-along with the Anchorage Police Department. Mr. Chairman, I am, of course, for the record, a nurse practitioner. My board specialization is in family practice, not psychiatric and mental health. But I am very aware that my clients very commonly have behavioral health issues. We have a huge deficiency in our state in addressing behavioral health deficiencies, and you will see this, Mr. Chairman, as you look at the health care reform bill that is before another committee in the Senate. There are barriers that are preventing qualified clinicians and educators, in this case, from meeting those specialized needs of children, in this case, with these behavioral issues. You heard from the mother who testified that these led to criminal issues, as well as ultimately, I see the health issues that result from it. So this is another opportunity, Mr. Chairman, to begin to meet the significant behavioral health problems we have in our state. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other concluding comments before we gavel out? Senator?
Thank you. I'm going to say I appreciate the sponsor bringing this forward, and I have not been a fan of it the first time I heard it, and I appreciate also Ms. Alsup's efforts to sort of address some of the concerns that I expressed to her and her patience and persistence in this. So I've really come around myself.
Thank you. So with that, we're going to set it aside, and we'll pick it up next week in our meeting on Tuesday. Thank you.